الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وآت ذا القربى حقه، سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الله سبحانه وتعالى making us humans, meaning we function with relationships. And the relationships in this world are either with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or they're with the creation. And because we are social beings, we can't function without socializing. Meaning, a person couldn't have children, there's no transacting without socializing. We are social constructs. We require that for us to be able to function as a community, for us to develop and beyond. And the general state of the believers, meaning the believers in general, the general bulk of them socialize, meaning they're not in isolation. Yes, there are certain narrations which mention that يَتْبَعُ خَيْرُ مَالِ رَجْلُ مُسْلِمْ الْغَنَمْ يَتْبَعُ بِهَا شَعَفَ الْجِبَالِ وَمَوَاقِعَ الْقِطْرِ يَفِرُّ بِدِينِهِ مِنَ الْفِتْنِ, that there will be times wherein a person will escape from the trials and tribulations, going to the mountains. Yet the general bulk of the creation is that they live amongst people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in one narration that المؤمن الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم أفضل من المؤمن الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. That the believer that integrates, the believer that mixes with the people, and he tolerates their difficulties. Meaning when you socialize, when you live with people, there are always difficulties involved. Somebody will speak in a certain way, somebody will say something inappropriate. There's always a form of tolerance that needs to be maintained. So the person that tolerates that, meaning he mixes, he integrates, yet he tolerates their difficulties. أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَصْبُرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ. He is better than the one who does not integrate, the one who does not mix with the people, and does not tolerate their difficulties. Now, there are conditions to this. One is good company. Better company is better than isolation, but isolation is better than bad company. Now, since it's better and since we need to socialize for us to be able to function, meaning to transact, unless it's bi'u ta'ati, you're generally required to communicate, to have interpersonal relationships. Because of this, we need guidelines. What can we say, what can we not say? What can we do, what can we not do? And Islam addresses this, that how do we live amongst people? Now, as it's next Thursday night, will be the 15th of Sha'ban, meaning the night, meaning after Maghrib, will be the 15th night of Sha'ban. And whether or not a person believes that it's rewarding or not, that's completely up to an individual. Yes, there are many scholars of the past. Atai ibn Yasar, Imam Shafi'i, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Abir al-Hajj, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Ishaq ibn Rahway, great muhaddithin, early and late, who all believed that it's established. Now, even if a person does not accept that and chooses that he only accepts Laylatul Qadr as the auspicious night, there are certain individuals, that's mentioned in one narration by Ibn Hibban, that there are certain individuals who are deprived on these auspicious nights. These nights when Allah's mercy descends, there are yet certain individuals who are deprived. First, one of them is a mushrik. The person who is an idolater, he will not be accepted on these nights. Number two, sharibul khamr, the person who is an alcoholic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to be forgiven. Yet these individuals will not be, according to the narration in Ibn Hibban, these individuals will not be forgiven. Number three, aqul walidain, the person who is disobedient to his parents. Number four, one who severs qati' al-rahim, one who severs family ties. And number five, one who harbors ill feelings towards others in his heart. Now, highlighting and signifying on number four, which is the one who severs his family ties. On Thursday nights, certain sahaba used to gather the tabi'een. So Abu Hurairah anhu was one, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was another sahabi. They would gather the tabi'een and others on a Thursday night and they would give them advice. So one Thursday night, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, addressing his congregants, the people who are in the gathering, he says to them that if there is anyone over here who has severed family ties, then leave. If anybody over here has broken relations with his relatives, leave. And he repeated this 3 times. Once Abu Hurairah anhu mentioned this 3 times, one young individual from that congregation, he left and went to his aunt. He went to his aunt because he hadn't spoken to her, or he had abandoned her منذ سنتين for 2 years. So he went to her, and possibly the narrations actually mentioned exactly what for, but of course it would have been to seek forgiveness. And she, instead of, you know, some people are very sarcastic to say that, oh, now you remember that I'm alive, or you remember me after 2 years. She didn't say any of that. She just asked, why did Abu Hurairah anhu ask you to leave? Anybody who has severed family ties, why did he ask you to leave? So he said, I'm not sure. So she asked him to go and ask Abu Hurairah anhu, what was the reason for mentioning that? So he went to Abu Hurairah anhu, and Abu Hurairah anhu explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمْ تُعْرَضُ كُلَّ خَمِيسٍ لَيْلَةِ الْجُمُعَةِ. That every Thursday night, the night before Friday, our actions are presented. And فَلَا يُقْبَلُ عَمَلُ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ. And the actions of a person who severs family ties are not accepted. Now, when you say acceptance, it means with mercy. I mean, we're talking about it being accepted with mercy. And generally, the bulk of narrations, they talk about a person being deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he severs family ties. Now, what does it mean to maintain ties of kinship? What does it mean to maintain family relations? So the ulama explained that, one, it means to behave in a kindly manner. You behave kindly, in the sense that which is ma'roof, which is customarily accepted. Two, that during times of happiness, you share in the happiness. During times of grief, you console them. And if they're in need of help, you assist them. Now this is a quality, or this is the importance of this action, is it can change a person's life altogether. Meaning a person's quality of life can change through maintaining family ties. Rasulullah ﷺ explains that مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يُبْسَطَ لَهُ رِزْقُ أَوْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِ فَلْيَصْلِدْ رَحِمَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. That whoever wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands for him his rizq, his sustenance. Sustenance isn't just restricted to wealth, it's beyond wealth. But in this context, it can refer to wealth greatly, because Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narration mentions that وَثَرَى مَالُهُ, that his wealth increases. That whoever wants that his wealth increases. You know that get rich quick scheme? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah is presenting to us 2 methods by which our quality of life can increase. One, how do we gain expansion within our rizq? And number two, أَوْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِ, or his life is prolonged, his life is lengthened. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ explains at the end of this, فَلْيَصُلْ رَحِمَةً, then he should maintain family ties. Maintaining family ties, 2 promises. One, quality of life increases, meaning a person's rizq increases, and according to one narration, وَثَرَى مَالُهُ, his wealth increases. And number two, his life is prolonged. The ulama, there's 2 explanations, I'll go with the more simple one, that he lives a more blessed life. There are many scholars of the past. Imam Nawawi passed away 7th century. Imam Suyuti passed away 10th century. Imam Al-Lakrimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi passed away last century. These are scholars who didn't live beyond their early 40s. Yet what they managed to achieve before that, people couldn't have achieved in 2 lifetimes. Imam Nawawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, his commentary on Muslim, the hadith book, is around 10 volumes. Then he has Sharh Muhaddab, that one book in the Shafi'i Madhab, which is around another 10 volumes, but he didn't live beyond his 40s. Imam Suyuti has a book in every field, in every Islamic science there is, Imam Suyuti probably has a book in every field. Alama Laknawi, he's a Majmu' al-Rasail, he's got like a compilation of small works. It comes into about 5-6 volumes, all in Arabic. These are scholars that didn't live beyond their 40s, but they managed to accomplish that which people couldn't have accomplished in 2 lifetimes. They had very blessed lives. If a person wants that blessed life, may not live long, but in that life that he lives and he leaves a reputation, join family ties. I can give you an example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You know, Hamza radiallahu anhu, we know the story of Hamza radiallahu anhu when he passed away during, it was brutal during the Battle of Uhud. Now he left a young daughter. The young daughter, in fact, he was so brutal that only his sister recognized him and she was crying. And when his daughter was there, she was crying. She went to Ali radiallahu anhu, who was a cousin. She was young. Ali radiallahu anhu then wanted to take responsibility for her. So, and Fatima radiallahu anha being the grandniece. So they wanted to take responsibility. Then Zayd radiallahu anhu came and said, no, I'll take custody of her, and she will become my responsibility. Then Ja'far radiallahu anhu then comes and says, no, I will assume responsibility. And again, Ja'far radiallahu anhu was the nephew of Hamza radiallahu anhu. However, Ja'far radiallahu anhu's wife was the mother's sister, meaning the aunt of the daughter of Hamza radiallahu anhu. All these three are all relatives. They're all relatives. And they are all fighting over who takes responsibility over the child. They all want responsibility. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mediating says that Ja'far radiallahu anhu will be given the daughter because his wife is al-khalatu bi manzilati al-umm, because the aunt is in the place of the mother, meaning the mother's sister is like a mother. But the point that there's a whole fiqhi discussion of custodial rights, but more pertinent, three sahaba fighting over a young girl, over their relative's daughter and the relative that passed away, three of them fighting over taking responsibility over that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration explains the fundamentals of Islam. An Arabi comes to Rasulullah and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني بما يقربني إلى الجنة ويباعدني من النار. Tell me something which will bring me closer to Jannah and it will distance me from Jahannam. Meaning it will draw me closer to Allah and I will draw closer to His mercy, becoming distant from His displeasure and from shayateen. So Rasulullah ﷺ explains, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Tawheed. Number one, worship Allah and do not ascribe partners to Allah. Number two, وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish your salah. Number three, وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ. Give your zakah. So these are all the fundamentals which we know. Fourth one, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ. Join family ties. Now think of the context of this. He's asked about actions by which he can attain Jannah and he is saved from Jahannam. Tawheed, Salah and Zakah are mentioned. Number four, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions maintaining family ties. And it's such a thing that this rahim, the family ties, once complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Rabbi, inni dhulimtu. I have been oppressed. Inni quti'tu. I have been broken. I have been severed. Inni, etc., etc. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering the call says, أَلَا تَرْضَيْنَ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَأَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكَ. That are you not happy, are you not pleased the fact that whoever severs you, whoever severs family ties and relationships, I will sever them. Whoever joins you, I will join them. Severance over here refers to the mercy of Allah. And one narration mentions that the person who severs family ties will not enter Jannah. Such is it deprivating, such can it deprive an individual that it can be a means to prevent a person entering Jannah altogether. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقْطَعُ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ, I will break who breaks you, that they will be deprived, meaning they will cut off from the mercy, that they will be deprived of Jannah altogether. And to attribute this also, in Islamic psychology, there are four main concepts. One is our actions, environment. One is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, our mind. What's in our mind, our beliefs, our internal processes. And number four, our relationships. In Islamic psychology, we give relationships a key component, its own component, because of the effect it can have in a person's life. If a person is deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether, a person's mental well-being can be destroyed. A person will suffer through different ways. Now, how can we maintain family ties? Number one, understanding what are family ties. How do we maintain? What does it mean by maintenance? It means to treat them kindly. Now, this can mean even through salam. If people are distant, giving them a text message, phoning them, however it is. If it's somebody immediate, then salam won't be sufficient. If it's parents or siblings, then that's something. Salam is not sufficient. It needs to be beyond that. If they need help, it needs to be much beyond that. Number two, maintaining family ties isn't something which is reciprocal. Meaning, if they're nice to me, I'll be nice to them. It's not tit for tat. Rasulullah explains that laysal wasl bil mukafi, that joining family ties is not responding kindly. Rather, it's when it's broken, somebody severs family ties, you join them. So that is hard. And when somebody, once relationships are broken, it requires humility. And sometimes it's perceived to be that, you know, that's humiliating. Why should I be doing something like that? The scholars in the past mentioned muru'ah. They talk about masculinity. Forget what's socially accepted as masculinity. The ulama of the past, they write that amongst the qualities of masculinity, one is that a person joins family ties. Yes, you might, sometimes it's the fact that how can I go to such and such a person and seek forgiveness after that which has happened. Muru'ah, true masculinity, is having the courage to be able to repair those relationships. That's what true masculinity is, having that courage. The ulama from Ibrahim Nakhai, etc. mentioned this from over 12 centuries ago. In fact, one sahabi came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I join family relations, yet they're evil to me. They're constantly, they're not responding kindly to me. Rasulullah explained that, تُصِفُهُمُ الْمَلْ, you are filling their mouths with ashes. Or my teacher described, Musa Shibiri actually described this as saying that it's like you're taking out your trash, you're taking out your rubbish. I mean, you've done your responsibility, you've done what you need to do, and so long as you do that, فَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ ظَهِيرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you somebody in assistance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send somebody to assist your affairs. But there's a hierarchy. Rasulullah explains, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُصِيكُمْ بِأُمَّهَاتِكُمْ ثُمَّ يُصِيكُمْ بِأُمَّهَاتِكُمْ ثُمَّ يُصِيكُمْ بِآبَائِكُمْ ثُمَّ الْأَقْرَبُ فَالْأَقْرَبُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you to be kind to your mothers. To your mothers, then your fathers, then your close relatives, then your close relatives. Meaning there's a hierarchy. Number one, parents and grandparents. This is actually in the books of fiqh. They mention this hierarchy. Number one, parents and grandparents are a priority. Mothers are given priority over fathers. Number two, older siblings and uncle and aunts. Oh, the oldest brother is considered a father, the oldest sister is considered like a mother. The mother's sister in one hadith is referred to as a mother also. So uncles and aunts, those, that's the hierarchy. After that, any mahram, any person you cannot marry, and you can switch it from a male to female, however that the thingy. Those are all people that main, the relationship need to be maintained, and anything beyond are your remaining relatives. But this is the hierarchy. The reason why I mention this hierarchy is that if there's any relationship that we have at the moment that is impaired, that needs repairing, then this is the hierarchy we need to work with. Parents, siblings, uncle and aunts, then any mahram and any relatives beyond. How can we do this? Number one, be sincere. We have many events in our lifetimes, weddings, etc. Make it, be sincere. I am doing this because there's a responsibility of maintaining rights. I'm not doing this because of some social or cultural responsibility. Like if I don't do it, that's it. They're not going to attend my daughter's wedding or something like that. Forget these sort of these customs. Do it because it's a responsibility. There's meaning behind this. There's purpose behind this. Number two, think, are there any relatives that to whom I've not spoken to for a while or our relationships have been severed? Yes, it will require humility from your aspect, but as I mentioned, true masculinity is having courage to be able to maintain relationships. Even if it's salam, can start off with saying, one narration actually mentions, bullu arhamakum walau bis salam, moisten and revive your relationships even if it's with salam. And finally, number three, attending permissible functions that are there, permissible functions with relatives, etc., with meaning we're doing it with the idea that I am fulfilling a responsibility. And because Ramadan is coming up, if people have zakah to give, prioritize relatives. One narration mentions, as-sadaqatu ala dhi rahmi thnatan, that giving sadaqah to your relatives, meaning your zakah, etc., to your relatives are two rewards. One for your zakah, and two for maintaining the relationship. There are two rewards for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيا معشر المسلمين، أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله والتمسك بالسنة المطهرة. يا معشر المسلمين، اعلموا أن الحقوق في الدنيا قسمان: حقوق الله وحقوق العباد. واعلموا عباد الله أن غالب القرآن يهدي إلى هذه الحقيقة، أن المال والأولاد زينة وتفاخر. فاعلموا أن هذه الأموال وهذه الأولاد ليسوا بنفسهم أسباب للتقرب إلى الله، إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا، يعني من عمل صالحا في حقوق الأموال وفي تربية الأولاد، أي أدى حق الله وحق العباد. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ومع ذلك من حقوق العباد صلة الأرحام. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الرحم شجنة من الرحمن، من وصلها وصلته، ومن قطعها قطعته. وفي رواية: من سره أن يبسط له في رزقه أو ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. وفي رواية آخر: لا يدخل الجنة قاطع. فأما حقوق الأولاد عباد الله، قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول، فعلموا أولادكم بالأنساب وتعلموا أنسابكم، لأن هذا من حقوقهم. اللهم قنا عذابك يوم تجمع عبادك، اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، من أطاعهما فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعصهما فقد ضل وغوى. أما بعد، فيا معشر المسلمين، قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأحياهم عثمان، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم. وسيد نساء أهل الجنة فاطمة رضي الله عنها، وسيد الشهداء حمزة رضي الله عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم، رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات، والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Kindly straighten the rows.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Kindly straighten the rows, stand shoulder to shoulder, ensure your heels are on the line. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Just a reminder that inshallah next Sunday, meaning Sunday 16th February at 1:30 p.m. we'll have an open day. All brothers are requested to invite their non-Muslims to understand more about Islam as a means of da'wah. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا تجار والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم نقنا من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم اغسلنا بالماء والثلج والبرد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها وأولها وآخرها وعلانيتها وسرها اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرب اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والجبن والبخل وضلع الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين